course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on fourth down and one.
So, anyways, with that, time's yours.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs for yet another Victory Edition. Nick, does it ever get tired doing Victory Editions of the Fourth and One podcast after Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs beat Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? Because this is 3 in 3 years, brother.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's doing pretty well in life. I mean, you know, like that tweet we were just talking about, apparently he owns a bank now too, M&T Bank Stadium. Posted that, so I mean, he's doing pretty well in life right now.
Yeah, no, part owner of the Royals, who Dayton Moore said would have made the playoffs if they'd had a whole 162 games, so, and they still had 8 teams that made the playoffs. But no, for those, if you're just waking up and you're not sure what happened last night, Chiefs went to Baltimore, and are we saying that they took them behind the woodshed, just that they crushed them? How would you describe that game? Because it seemed pretty dominant to me, except for special teams. But I thought the Chiefs' offense and the Chiefs' defense were, you know, had the best of the game on both sides.
Yeah, no, I mean, they definitely destroyed them there till about halftime. But then it seemed like they let off the accelerator a little bit and kind of throttled back a little bit because of some mistakes here and there. But like you said, Ed Darwin Thompson kept contained on kickoff like he's supposed to. That doesn't happen, and they have to drive the field. And if Bucker doesn't have a couple misses, and if Darwin doesn't fumble the football, then that game would have been a complete rout, and people would have been a little irritated at how much it would have been hyped up and didn't live up to that hype. But, no, I mean, look, I mean, the Chiefs, they showed when they're laser-focused and when they're motivated what they can do, even against one of the best defenses in the league. So, and the Chiefs did it to them again last year, but then they kind of let off the accelerator last year too, and the Ravens just kept going with what their identity was and running the ball, and were able to get back in the game last year too. So, we'll see how things keep going here. But I mean, this is the third year in a row that with Patrick Mahomes under center, they've started 3-0, and Andy Reid. This is the fifth time in 8 years for Andy Reid that they've started 3-0. So I mean, there's been a lot of success here in Chiefs Kingdom here in Kansas City. So it's I appreciate it because I remember a lot of down years before that.
Yeah, the Chiefs have been giving up 150 yards a game or so. They gave up another 150 today, but it didn't feel like it. I mean, Lamar got some big runs on the edge here and there, but this wasn't the kind of performance they had last year, certainly. I really thought the Chiefs' run defense held up pretty well. How much credit do you give to say Mike Pinnell or do you give some credit to the linebackers in this situation? Like we talked about in the preview podcast about this being a game where maybe Damian Wilson and Anthony Hitchens could show up and make some plays, and both of them did a couple times.
Yeah. I mean, I felt it was a team effort on the whole thing and what they had to do, because I mean, early on there in that first drive when Lamar had his big run, that was partially because they didn't keep contain on that side and they let him kind of get out to the edge there. And when Lamar does that, he's going to be a problem. So they were able to adjust and shore up their responsibilities and do a correct job with that and their assignment. So after that first drive or two, they really kind of settled into who they were. And you saw the run defense. It reminded me so much of that Broncos game last year, whenever the run defense was getting gashed at will on that first drive, and then they just shut it down after that. I felt like the Chiefs defense did a lot of that against Baltimore on Monday night.
Honestly, I've come to expect it from the Steve Spagnuolo defenses. It seems like they come out, take a few body blows on occasion. I mean, the Chargers went right down the field with Justin Herbert last week and got a touchdown. But Steve Spagnuolo and his staff are able to adjust, able to figure out what they're doing, and then get the defense in a position to make some plays and shut it down the rest of the way. And, look, I mean, it was the fourth quarter before Baltimore scored a touchdown on offense against this unit. I really thought that opening drive when the defense was able to get to hold them out of the end zone and force a field goal. And then when the offense came on the field and was able to go right down the field and get that touchdown. I think the Chiefs were feeling pretty confident, and I think at that point, I hate to say it was over at that point, but I think in some ways it was, because I think that the Chiefs knew it was their night at that point, because they had figured some things. They were going to figure some things out defensively, and if Pat's playing like that, 5 touchdowns, 1 rushing, 4 passing. When Pat's playing like that, I mean, Katie bar the door. I don't know who's beating them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that I took away from the first 2 or 3 drives is just how the Ravens played off and how they really didn't attack and they didn't play their style of defense there early on. They were so scared about getting beat deep. It was really surprising to see. And then because of that, I mean, they were willing to let the Chiefs dink and dunk all they wanted. And that's kind of what the league's been doing for the past 4 games against the Chiefs, if you include the Super Bowl against the 49ers. Everybody wants to keep everything in front to where Mahomes and them pick them apart, and then they start coming forward and start attacking a little bit more. And, I mean, like I said, the blueprint, the only thing that you can have that attacks them is 2 really, really good edge rushers, which the Chargers had in Ingram and Bosa, and then, like, a good defensive tackle that can help collapse that pocket in on Mahomes so he can't step up. I mean, the 49ers and Chargers have the formula of how you actually slow down that Chiefs offense. I just don't know there's going to be a lot of people that can duplicate it. We'll see what the Patriots do next week against the Chiefs. But, I mean, overall, I mean, it's just been fun to kind of watch Mahomes over these 2.5 years, per se, to just watch how defenses, how they adjust and how they attack. And the Chiefs typically find answers. If not all that week, they find it within a week or two later. And they always seem to have an answer for what defenses are throwing at them.
Well, and real quick, this week, 5 different receivers had at least 4 catches and 60 yards in this game. Mecole Hardman Jr. Kind of announced his presence as a big play threat. Probably should have had 2 touchdowns. That would have been a tough catch on the post, but can't throw it any better than Mahomes did there late in the second quarter. But, I mean, just, you know, I think if anybody was concerned because, you know, the first game they kind of came out and played more of a ball control offense. And then the second game, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the offense were a little out of sync and, you know, and really didn't have probably had one of their worst games other than maybe the Colts game last year. Hopefully if you're a Chiefs fan and you were feeling a little concerned, this game will ease those concerns.
Yeah. I think it'll calm some people's nerves overall to see what the Chiefs were able to do this week. And I think it'll help some fans get their swagger back a little bit, a little pep in their step to where they aren't worried. Because, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I thought the Ravens were going to bring in a lot more blitzes than what they did. I thought they were really tame compared to what they could have been in terms of attacking Mahomes. And yeah, the Chiefs were expecting it and anticipating it because they had that ball out quick, 2.5 seconds. They made sure they had it out on a regular basis at that timing. So, I mean, yeah, it was. I was kind of surprised at how the Ravens attacked tonight. So, I mean, if they get a rematch against them in the playoffs, it'll be really interesting to see how the Ravens approach it differently. But I will say it is huge for the Chiefs to get this win tonight to hold that tiebreaker over the Ravens if they need it with only having 1 bye in the playoffs now.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to get that 1 seed. And look, even when the Ravens did blitz, Patrick Mahomes made him pay today. We're going to talk a little bit more about his performance on the other side of this break here on 4th and 1.
It's about time to watch on your time. Whether it's going to be mostly this, or partly this, or maybe grab this. Now stream local weather on this. It's about time we fit into your schedule. Search 41 Action News on your device.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs, and we're still talking about the Chiefs' big win in Baltimore. Chiefs now 3-0, and as we talked about at the end there, important game potentially down the road for playoff seeding there for the Chiefs. Big win, and frankly, I got to issue a mea culpa. I mean, you and I both kind of thought this might be one where the Chiefs, you know, could struggle a little bit. The run defense didn't look great. The offense looked like it was struggling. And you thought if that trend continued, Baltimore would get the better of them. Turned out, you know, that certainly wasn't the case at all. And I wanted to get your impression of Lamar Jackson because he goes 15 to 28 for only 97 yards passing and a touchdown. And we saw the best of Lamar Jackson with his ability to run and accelerate. But we also saw a lot of passes that are just not accurate. And it's not just down the field. It's not just that seam route in double coverage to Mark Andrews. It's the shorter passes over the middle. What do you make of Lamar Jackson? And do you, you know, where do you think he really – clearly he's not the number one player in the NFL, but where do you think he does rank?
I mean, he's a dynamic runner whenever you give him the edge, and that's the one thing you have to take away from him. That's what makes him confident is when he's able to run, whenever he's able to run for first downs and kind of use that to build up his confidence. And then Mark Andrews is a safety blanket in that offense. I mean, that's who he wants to get the ball to off play action, and he likes to get it in between the numbers and within 10 to 20 yards there's where he likes to throw that. And so, I mean, that's just kind of who he is and where his wheelhouse is. I mean, he can throw some to Brown, and at times he likes to – he started to get in a rhythm there at the end whenever the Chiefs kept blitzing and he kept throwing the slant routes and running hurry up. That actually is kind of in his wheelhouse. And, I mean, he's just a quarterback that he feels comfortable – and I say this about some quarterbacks. He's one of those quarterbacks that he feels comfortable when he gets to do his play action, you know, his hand face and his play action and do – the running motion and roll out and also just kind of freelance in some regard to where it's not necessarily a defined offense at times. It's just kind of where he seems most natural, and that's where you get the best out of him as a passer. I mean, do I think he's going to be Patrick Mahomes accurate in his career? I think it's going to take a lot of work to get to that point, and I'm not going to discount that he can't get there, but I just think where he's at right now, he's not – in the same spot. I mean, I'd be curious to see what he was if he was with Andy Reid. I would be intrigued by what he could potentially be if he had Andy Reid as his coach for 5 to 6 years and then Eric Bieniemy style, but that's not the way the road went. The Chiefs got Mahomes and won a Super Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, Lamar, he's at his best when you let him get to the edge and run the football and kind of build up that confidence, and then he gets a little bit more comfortable as a passer and kind of pushing the ball downfield at times.
Yeah, but, I mean, especially today, because they never really got the run game going, I mean, Mark Ingram had 7 carries for 30 yards. You know, I mean, their second leading rusher was Gus Edwards behind Lamar Jackson today. I mean,
Gus Edwards on your fantasy team?
He was not, but one of the running backs in this game was, and he helped me also get to 3-0. For the record. But to your point, because they couldn't really get the running game established and they could never get to that play action, you see all the knocks, all the reasons that people have questioned whether Lamar Jackson could be an NFL quarterback, all the reasons he was available with the last pick in the first round when the Ravens traded back in to get him in the first place. I mean, I think that the Chiefs, you know, we talk about how the 49ers kind of showed the formula that teams try to emulate for how to beat Patrick Mahomes. Do you think the Chiefs showed some people how you can handle and contain Lamar Jackson? Because those edge rushers today did a great job not letting him get outside, forcing him, you know, to step up in the pocket. It led to a couple sacks when they brought delayed blitzes. It gave the rest of the defense time when he did step up and did slip away. You know, it gave the defense time to rally to the ball and force him out to the outside and not give up that edge. I mean, I don't know if other teams can replicate what they did, but I think the Chiefs did a really remarkable job, a few plays aside, and I think he's going to get those against anybody, but did a really remarkable job of containing Lamar Jackson today.
You know, the two defenses that I think they and a lot of teams in the league took from is the I believe the Chargers about 2 years ago, whenever they ran a lot of that prevent that they did, or they had a lot more defensive backs and safeties on there to match his speed. I think that is a part of what teams have taken and pulled from, and I wouldn't be surprised if Steve Spagnuolo did. And then I think the Titans in the playoff game last year, what they did to him and how they made him uncomfortable with some of the things that he doesn't like to do as a quarterback. I think the Chiefs kind of used a blend of those two, along with what Spagnuolo experienced last year when they played the Ravens at Arrowhead. So I think it was like a blend of three different defensive styles and game plans that they put together. And the key thing with Lamar that I wrote in the article and it ended up showing up tonight is that you don't bring more than five against him. Five is the max number you bring against him. And that fifth person, you either want them to be the spy or you want them to replace somebody in one of their rush lines. And like you were talking about with Frank and the other defensemen at the time, just getting 10 yards upfield and containing, that is so crucial against Jackson because he doesn't like to be corralled in there. Just like Pat doesn't like to be corralled, Jackson doesn't either, and he wants to take off. But he's willing to stay in the pocket if you don't give him that edge. So with Jackson, it's all about taking away that edge and having people on the edge who are fast enough to take that away, whether it's a defensive end or linebacker. And when you do that, that causes a lot of problems for him, especially if that run game's not working.
One item of bad news for the defense today, if there was one, not as many injuries as last week for the Chiefs overall, but L'Jarius Sneed and the collarbone injury bears some watching. He'd been playing really, really well, almost had his third pick in three games on the play he ultimately got injured on, and especially with Bashaud Breeland still out, you know, one more week. And with as well as he's playing, don't want to lose him in the secondary. But other than that, great night for the defense. And we're going to tie a bow on this one when we come back here on 4th and 1.
You can't always trust the weather in Kansas City. Trust the 41 Action News weather team. On air, online, and on your phone. KC's one and only most accurate.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs, and we are in the C block talking about the Chiefs' 34-20 win against the Ravens. Is that the new scoreline for the Chiefs here, 34-20? A little bit better in the Super Bowl, which was 31-20, but Texans-Ravens, the two playoff teams from last year they faced this year, 34-20 both times.
Yeah, I mean – hey, as long as they win, I don't care what they win by. That's all I care about.
I do want to get your opinion because I know, as a former offensive lineman, you had to appreciate Eric Fisher's touchdown there. I mean, and look, it's been 7 years, so the number one overall pick should score a touchdown at some point in a 7-8 year NFL career, right? Because this is his 8th year in the league, man. So, congratulations to him. Two questions about that play. How many times do you think Eric Fisher has reminded Andy Reid that he played high school or played tight end in high school? And did you enjoy that play or the little underhand shovel pass to Anthony Sherman more?
All right. So first part of this, I honestly don't think Fisher has ever brought that up. Fisher's never struck me as a type that cares about that. He's just an offensive lineman. He's got that workman mentality. He's not like Chris Jones. He's probably fucking Andy every week. To be, I guarantee Chris Jones is on the sidelines like, you could have put me in for that play so I could have got a touchdown.
He's probably texting B.J. Kissel right now, even though B.J.'s moved on, because I remember all those sideline interviews he used to do about playing quarterback.
I'm just saying, tonight probably refueled Chris Jones really wanting to score a touchdown on offense or, you know, run the Cam Newton, as he calls it, and run a quarterback option. So I just think that just lit the fire for Chris Jones' campaign to score a touchdown on offense. So I think we'll have to see that at some point this year now.
Real quick, though, so if you don't think that Fisher brought it up, do you think it's more likely that Andy Reid was studying film of Eric Fisher's high school tape, you know, like he studied like the whatever it was, the 1950 Rose Bowl to come up with that play for the Super Bowl? Do you think he studied Eric Fisher's high school tape and noticed his hands, and that's how he came up with the idea?
I think Andy's had that in his book for a while, and it was a primetime game. And if you think about some of the primetime games, if there's a comfortable lead, Andy always likes to do something like that. If you want to think back to Dontari Poe with the jump pass on Christmas,
Hungry Pig,
those game. I mean, Andy's always got those set aside for some of those moments on national TV, just to have a little fun and flex a little bit and remind people that Andy Reid's always got tricks in his playbook. So, I know the joy that Eric Fisher felt, not necessarily from an NFL experience, but I mean, on my intramurals football team in college, I was able to catch an offensive tackle delay as well. So I understand that joy being there in the end zone and the nervousness you have about just hoping you can catch it. So
were there more fans at your game that were at M&T Bank Stadium tonight?
Yeah, technically they're actually, we're not going to think about it because there's a handful of sororities there. They were going to play the next game, but I mean, you know,
yeah.
We had a good team back then with Reggie Stockman, Rob Felder, Brandon McCammon, Nick Lowry, and Robert Jones.
Wait, your kicker was Nick Lowry?
No, Nick was a wide receiver.
Oh, okay.
Not the kicker. Somebody went to college with Vincent from Missouri, Todd. Okay. But anyways, we were the ambush. We had Virginia Tech uniforms that were popular back then with the word ambush. I still have it, Todd. If you want me to literally go try to find this.
Yeah, no, wear it for the preview podcast.
that is a couple XLs too small for me.
I'm gonna need to text your mom for pictures of you in that shirt.
a couple shirt sizes too small there, Todd. So look like a big guy in a little coat. That's what that would look like.
All right. Hey, Patrick Mahomes, fastest quarterback to 10,000 yards, did it in 34 games. Yep. How many games would it take you to throw 10,000 yards in the NFL?
I believe I would have my AARP card, and I would still be attempting to get to that. I was nowhere near that, especially the NFL. In fact, I probably would have had a career injury because I would have gotten a defender or any defender in the world. And, you know, I would have been like, you know, this didn't feel yeah. good. I'm good. Can we do something to where I just where I stand on the sidelines for 4 years and get that league pension, and then we can just go our separate way?
Right, be Jim Sorgi. Just hold the clipboard. Also, by the way, that is 9 times already in his career. Patrick Mahomes has thrown at least 4 touchdowns in a game. Also, his 19th career 300-yard game tonight. 385 yards for Patrick Mahomes. But was there anything about this game that frustrated you? Because the Chiefs won 34-20. We've already talked about it. It was a fairly dominant performance. But, yeah, I mean, you know, there were lots of mistakes to clean up, whether it was Butker doing some very un-Butker-like things, whether it's the fact that Dustin Colquitt's still not on the team, whether it was the fumble in the red zone by Darwin Thompson. Was that the most egregious one in your mind?
I just like how you snuck in Dustin Colquitt. People weren't gonna notice. Here's the thing. Like, one of my frustrations is, and this is kind of the special teams, they always seem to be having an error anymore. Whether it was last year or this year, they have somebody who just has a mental mistake here or there. I think back last year, they had a field goal blocked. It cost them a game. I mean, the punt blocked against the Texans. Luckily, it worked out for them, and they came back. Thompson tonight, you know, Thompson had the – where he just has to keep contained. He couldn't keep contained. Like, I mean, that's the one job.
On the DuVernay kickoff return touchdown. Is that the one you're talking about?
DuVernay.
Devin DuVernay.
Yeah, I thought – I was like, what? It took me.
No, not the Canadian doctor.
No, but I mean, I love Devin Duvernay. Like when he was, I loved him when he was coming out. Like,
oh yeah.
Really hoping they get him as a slot receiver. Like, man, he'd be awesome in his offense. And saw why tonight, while he's doing pretty well. But no, I mean that was frustrating. And then Thompson fumbling the ball. Thompson just, I don't know. I wonder with his awareness sometimes if that's going to improve. Or if he needs to mature on the practice squad, so that was frustrating. And yeah, I mean those were my two biggest things that I kind of wanted to see different. And then the fourth the fourth and short, I don't really like seeing the fullback dive because the Chiefs run it so much that I think teams just pinch in and bring their blitzers and crash the A gaps, and it's 50 or 50. If they're playing a lesser defense, they could probably get away with it, but like some of the premier teams, they just aren't able to.
Well, and with all the – that one stuck out to me. Look, I mean, Andy Reid's not going to dial up the right play every time. But with all the weapons you have at play, just even in fourth and short there at midfield, line up and do what you do, you know, because whether it's Watkins or Kelce underneath or Edwards-Helaire in the flat, or, you know, if they come up, you know, Mecole Hardman or Tyreek Hill, who we both saw get behind the defense, score touchdown. Somebody's coming open, and Pat can probably find him in that situation and keep that drive alive and not let the Ravens have any life there. But, hey, look, we're nitpicking at this point because a win's a win. You move on. You got Cam Newton and the Patriots coming to town. We're going to have a lot more to talk about with that game later in the week when we preview that one here on 4th and 1. But for now, we're going to tie a bow on this one. And anything else you want to add?
No, that's all I can think of. I thought you were going to tell me about your fantasy team or something here to close it out.
Well, I mean, we're a little short on time, you know, and I was really hoping we could get a touchdown. Can you show us the touchdown celebration, you know, from your flag football days?
You're looking at it right now.
All right. On that jolly note, take care, Keith.
All right. Time to go.